Would you like to take it back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back?
We, you know, we planned this show out, basically. We put down a theme. But we don't really have writers or anything. So we're trying to be funny sometimes, and it doesn't always work. And sometimes we need this opportunity, which is to take back what we say.
Or sometimes it's hilarious and the people that you work with don't appreciate how funny you are.
Yes,
sometimes that happens.
That could happen too. Yeah.
Or
point,
sometimes
Ralph.
It's, quote, hilarious and no one in the audience is with you.
No, that's
And that's
not
the point
true.
When you need to take it back. The first one, no surprise, is Bean.
How dare you?
Ralph's doing the showbiz beat. He's talking about the top earning rappers.
Jay-Z comes in second with $460 million. Owns part of the soon-to-be Brooklyn Nets, of course.
Yep.
Dre is third.
Wow, I forgot about Dre.
$270 million for Dre.
Put it in
the
file.
What? In the file.
There's no question that's a file. Forgot about Dre. It's the name of a song, people.
Yeah.
Seriously. Hold on now, just a second. Let me just reinstate the rules. We don't need further clarification. Got it the first time.
None of these seem to be things that people say, I just don't understand that. No one ever says that about these moments.
I need further explanation of what
you
meant.
I wish I knew why he went there.
I'm going to say no on this one. I don't see what the problem is. To me, it fit perfectly. It wasn't a stretch. It wasn't a crazy reach. I thought it was fine. I'm standing by Forgot About Dre.
I'm going to allow that because later you're going to need to take one back. Or I'm going to
save up
you.
Your take back.
I'm going to punch you in the face. All right. So now we've got Ralph.
What?
And he's doing the show biz and he's talking about Boy George.
And Boy George got beat up last weekend. He was assaulted Saturday night at a club in London, he claims.
Doesn't seem like he needs any help in that arena.
I'm not sure I understand.
He has people over. Remember he had people over that beat him up?
And no, he beat the other guy
oh,
up.
Oh, he did? No.
He had the guy chained up in his bedroom. The guy escaped and had to call the cops. maybe this is
the guy getting him back.
Maybe this is karma, you know? Like a chameleon. Sometimes it changes. You never know how it's... I'm just saying you never know with karma.
Put that
sometimes
file.
It changes and you can't expect the changes because it's very...
Oh, yeah.
File.
That's Bean, by the way, playing the Oh Yeah drop. Oh yeah, because he loves it.
Because you set him up perfectly
but
for
that was
your confusion over who did what.
Right. If I had to take my joke back, can Kevin take back the fact that he went a completely different way and told the wrong story about the guy and interrupted what I was trying
I
to get across?
Both of
I'll totally
absolutely.
Take that back. I tried to edit it out because it doesn't help at all. But
much like in real time.
But yours was a stretch. It was a stretch.
Karma, yes. At first you said it was payback.
Yes.
And then I said, yeah, it was karma.
Yeah, but then Chameleon.
And he had a big hit with Karma. Chameleon was his biggest hit ever.
Don't you take that back.
Don't you dare take that back, Ralph.
Oh, Ralph, I can smell that from here.
Thank you.
There's never been a more appropriate joke to make in the history of this segment than Karma Chameleon.
I'll tell you why, because Karma made perfect sense. Chameleon doesn't even...
You
mean
it's
only the second line in its biggest hit ever?
Yes, but it has nothing to do with the conversation. It doesn't fit. Like Beans, I Forgot About Dre. All of those words at least fit the story.
Try
chameleon
to say karma when you're talking about Boy George and not say chameleon.
All right, would you take this back?
Boy George didn't say how or why he got beat up. He did post a photo of his swollen eye. No word on whether he filed a police report or not. Some of the police are speculating he just tumbled for you, and so that's
all. Oh,
I'm saying it may not have been an assault. What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Would you like to take that?
I don't know what you're talking about there. I don't understand.
I'll tumble for you. The name of a Boy George song.
Oh, it's the name of
a
Boy George song.
Yes.
Oh, what an appropriate joke that would
but
have been then.
A bit of a stretch, don't you think?
No, no, I won't take either of those back. No,
you're
bad. No. No.
And what about Bean?
That's
do
a
we
definite
know
file. Anything about the guy who beat him up? I mean, do we know? Did he even really want to hurt him? I mean,
oh,
do we,
stop
is there,
it!
But I.
Come on.
Would you like to take that back?
That's Bean trying to co-sign your horrible comedy.
It's a fun look, game, Kevin.
It is a fun game.
I know,
game.
But you I can't play, so.
You can't play.
I'm jealous.
Look, Ralph already had, the car had speed already, and I just jumped in and went along for the ride.
Would you like to take
if Ralph's not taking his back, I'm not taking mine back.
Wow.
This is falling apart.
This is not good. This is an opportunity to take stuff back, not to just stand by it.
I will pass on that opportunity, but thank you for your
All right, here's Ralph. And you tell me you don't take this back, there's going to be some problems.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Presidential candidate, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, 65 years old today.
Oh, he's going to have a party.
Oh, Mitt. I love a guy named Mitt.
This is a strange nickname.
Mitt.
What's it? President Mitt.
The ticket. He's finally getting a ball, I guess, right?
Oh, all file.
Would you like to take that back?
His vice presidential candidate is going to be named Ball.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You take it back?
Yes, yes.
Oh. Would you like to take that back?
How about that?
Horrible, horrible reason.
That was really bad, right?
Yeah, really bad.
All right, this is the one that I'm going to insist being take back. I can't.
You don't get to insist,
I have to. This is Ralph doing the birthdays. And the unbelievable reach that happens here back into time. It must have injured him.
James Farentino, the actor, is dead. That's for you, Kevin.
I don't know who that is.
He was a big deal in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. One of those character actors you'd know if you saw him. He was on every TV show. He had a regular role in Dynasty. Most recently, probably best known for playing George Clooney's dad on ER.
Do you think this 30-second tribute is the most he has been discussed on any airwaves in the last 30 years?
Ever. No, because he was arrested in 2010 for beating a dude up.
He was like 70.
He was like 70, and he just smacked the crap out of a guy. Got busted for assault.
The guy accused him of not really going to the moon?
Wow, file.
That's a reasonable reference.
Yeah, well, we'll decide.
Old people beating people up? Come on.
Would you like to take that back?
Wow. I'm going to explain it because you people don't understand probably. And this is an old guy that got arrested for assault. Bean is reaching back to an astronaut named Buzz Aldrin who punched a guy when? 10 years ago?
At least.
Because the guy insisted that Buzz Aldrin did not land on the moon.
Right.
That's
See,
the reach.
I was confused that James Franchino had the same problem.
You weren't confused at all. You were making a horrible joke that involved a story no one remembered.
Would you like to take that back?
Come on.
I'll take that one back.
Do the right thing.
There we go.
There you go. Now we finally at least got some.
No. Just leave it and take it back.
No, I did. I took it back. Okay. I took it back, but I'm just saying.
No, you're just saying.
In our defense,
all good.
We're doing a live show for 5 hours every day, and not everything is going to be a home run. That's all I'm
saying. And that was a strikeout right there.
I'll take that
one. All right.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
Our friend the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick, joins us in studio in about half an hour or so right now. He's going to be at Club Nokia this weekend, and we'll talk about his unbelievable YouTube channel. Have you checked it out? Have you checked out all the stuff he's got going on, all the videos?
I've seen some of it, not all
He's got a network. Yeah. He's got a network. He's got a Weird Al show. He's got a bowling show. He's got a magic show. It's insane what this guy's got his fingers in. Anyway, all that coming up. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, too, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's give me a little bit of our friend Mac Lethal, would you please?
I don't want to wind up in the gutter with a bottle of malt liquor bitter because I never got a call. But who the drinks malt liquor anymore? Give me vodka now and start. I'm when I have another personal epiphany. I'm coming with a symphony, eliminating everybody. Anybody roll up like a cannibal and bite them like a peanut butter apple in a minute. I'm a nibble on a pentagram and every single bitter limb is getting so offended. I don't give a damn if anything. I'm in a planet coming with a humbly integrated entity and everybody's going to get the guillotine. I'm getting cinematic in a matter of a minute. Every milligram is devilish. The Vatican will kill it. Dead.
Okay. You listen to Twista, you listen to Busta Rhymes, you listen to Eminem, you go, wow, how do those guys rap so fast?
And then Mac Lethal comes along and you go, who are those guys?
The hell?
We have become a little bit obsessed with this guy because we always play his videos on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup whenever we feature our favorite new videos of the week. And Mac Lethal has been blowing us away for a couple of years now. And I can't believe we've never had him on the show before, but we're happy to welcome him to the program right now. Hey, Mac, how are you, man?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you guys? Thrilled to be on here.
Thank God. Well, I thought you were going to talk as fast as you rap and we were going to have to try and keep up.
Right. No, never. I only do that when I'm on stage or recording a YouTube video, so keep it slow so everyone can understand.
Please, I want our listeners to go, if they're not familiar with Mac's work, I want you to go to his YouTube channel, which is just his name, Mac Lethal, and look at these videos. And they blow us away for a number of reasons, and this is why we wanted to talk to you. First of all, you do them, maybe not in one take, but the one that is posted is done without editing. You just set up a camera, like in the case of the pancake video, you set up a camera in your kitchen and it just rolls and you just go and you do the whole 2, 3, 4 minutes, whatever it is, without screwing up. How?
I mean, it takes about 100 tries, depending on the video. The pancake one, as you can see by all the extra pancakes sitting there.
Right.
Took, I want to say about 150 tries. I mean,
wow.
Maybe I don't even know if I counted. It just got took two separate days, I'll tell you that. So
it would take me the rest of my life, and I would never get it right.
No, I would just give up too. So you're like those guys who do those crazy YouTube videos where they make the unbelievable basketball shots where they have to, hit off of a chair that's 80 yards away. You just keep doing it over and over and over again until you get it right.
Yeah, and then the one that you finally get, it makes it all worth it.
Here's another one for those of you that are not familiar with Mac Lethal's work.
Chris Brown broke up with Rihanna, so he's looking for another silly idiotic girl that he can beat up. I wish that he was man enough to get inside the octagon. I'm kicking him in the noggin like I'm Leo the Machida. Front kick to the face just by me throwing my feet up. Winking at Rihanna, baby, please show us your D-cups. I'm giving it to the man, the cakes. Stick it right to the pan, your fate is imminent. I'm in a minute, she got the reefer smoke to re-up. It's done. That's done. That cake is done.
Wow. That's so good.
Is that the Nerdy White Kid Kills Look at Me Now? Is that what that song is, Mac?
Yeah, that's what that one's called.
And that's your number. That's the best-selling one that you have on iTunes. And when we first started watching your videos, we said, why is this guy not all over the radio? Like, why is he not a big star? And I didn't even realize until we did a little research recently that you have actually put out a bunch of albums, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely. Over the span of, I guess, about 10 years now, I've been self-releasing albums. I've had independent record deals. So, yeah, I've put out several albums and actually have a fan base that has been very loyal and supportive of me for a decade now.
Are you supporting yourself with this?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely.
As I was going to say, if you're not, you're getting ripped off.
No. I'm doing just fine.
All right, good.
So,
do you do a lot of live shows?
Yeah, I actually just did a tour on the East Coast, and it was the first time I had gone to the East Coast in about 5 years, and I sold out just about every single show.
So now, you say it takes 100 to 150 times to get the video right the first time. Are you able to then perform it live without messing up?
Yeah, and that's the good thing is once I actually finally do get it, I'll watch it, over and over again because I'm sitting there kind of watching the views climb. And, like, for instance, on this East Coast tour, I did the pancake rap every night and did it pretty much flawlessly.
Did you make pancakes while doing it?
No, I didn't. I don't have a stove that I can take with me.
Well, that's not as impressive then.
Yeah. But if I did, I would.
Yeah.
And I think that was the hardest part of the pancake rap was there would be times when I would actually get the lyrics right, but I would, like, leave the cake on too long and forget to turn it over. And when I would turn it over, it would be black on the other side.
That's fun.
So, yeah. So
I'm so relieved. This is the voice of Mac Lethal here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his unbelievable rapping skills. I'm so relieved, honestly, to hear that you're making a living as a rapper, because I just had this fear that you were a guy who was doing these videos in your basement and you were putting them up on YouTube for grins, and then you were, going out and working in a library or something.
No.
You picked him as a library worker?
Well, or whatever. I'm just saying, the fact that if you weren't making a living in music, there was something wrong with music, because you have some of the most unbelievable skills I've ever seen. Now, what kind of reaction do you get from other rappers? Are you in touch with some of them? Are they fans of yours too?
Sure. There's actually a rapper named Tech N9ne that's one of the faster rappers, and he's from my hometown, Kansas City, and we are in talks about working together on a record deal sort of situation. And
yeah, but that's what we need, is twice as much of this rapping.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot more of it. A lot more of it is coming. And if it makes you feel any better, I just did a thing with Heineken, this internet thing, and that was pretty much that. It bought my fiance and I a beautiful home.
Fantastic.
So I'm making
fantastic
living. It's a great living.
You should be. You're one of the people that we're very concerned about. We want to make sure that you provide us.
I appreciate the concern.
You've provided us with a lot of entertainment. Now, what about this Gautier beat that you use for your next song? Did you have to get his okay? Do you just do it? What happens?
Well, here's what I did is I couldn't find an official instrumental release of that track, so I found a karaoke version of that song, and the actual instrumental music to that is slower, so if you notice, if you play the Gautier song, or Gautier, or however you say it, you said it, if you play the original song and then play my version of the song, you'll notice that I had to speed up the version that I used about 30 BPMs. I had to pitch shift it so it was faster because it wasn't fast enough for me. But I found some karaoke version of it on the internet, downloaded it, and that's the one I use.
Here's what we're talking about, Mac Lethal rapping over Gautier.
I can understand if you were just a kid, but if you're older than 13 years old, you better see these words and know exactly what the difference is. This one is a contraction, like you, apostrophe R, ready for action. You're at risk when the gym star slash your skin. You're an idiot like Kim Kardashian. This one is your possessive, yours, your beer, your gun, your mom's a whore. I'm taking it kind of easy on just being a couple samples. Though I'm going to give another example. Look, see, I don't give a damn about...
How do you know my mom's a whore?
Why the grammar lesson? This seemed like an odd choice for a rap song, the Your Versus Your. Where'd that come from, Mac?
I mean, you know, it's just as odd as cooking pancakes. I like to do stuff that seems off the wall that I think will be interesting. And then here's the other thing. I spend a lot of time on the internet, on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's the way people communicate now. And people have seemed, especially adults, to forget the difference between your and then the other your, the one with the apostrophe R-E, possessive and contraction.
Well, so I thought
it was time to brush people's education up a little bit, give them a reminder.
I'm sure that you rapping 400 words per minute will teach them that lesson.
Well, it's well known that kids learn best if they can barely follow what's being said. We all know that.
That's an astounding point.
you are doing great work out there in Kansas City, Mac. We are so happy for your success. And as I said, we have been admiring your videos from afar for a long time. We featured a bunch of them. In fact, we have this most recent one that we just played a clip from on KROQ.com right now. So people should definitely go and check it out and check out your YouTube channel, which is just under your name, Mac Lethal. I'm so happy that you're doing so well, and we appreciate your time today.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it as well. It's an honor. I tweeted about being on the show, and my timeline went crazy. People are just so excited that I was on the show. So I really appreciate you guys reaching out. It means a lot. Thanks.
Can you say goodbye to us really fast, Mac Lethal?
Goodbye, Kevin and Bean.
Goodbye, Mr. Lethal.
Have a good night.
Destination number 3, the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. Grand prize drawing is going to be Friday morning. We're sending you, K-Rock listener, to Lollapalooza in Chicago. You can qualify all this week by listening to The Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day on K-Rock to win your tickets for the Black Keys at Staples Center on October the 6th. And then we might call you on Friday to give you the good news. You can get all those details at KROQ.com.
It's a weird story. You don't see this very often, but a black bear has been visiting Glendale a lot. A black bear, 400
really?
Pounds.
You're seeing it more and more often as there are fewer and fewer places for bears to go, but it's bad news usually when a bear shows up in your neighborhood. If you got a bear like going through your trash in your backyard, that's not good. That's not good for anybody.
It doesn't seem good. And then when people saw the bear, they called the authorities and they came and they tranquilized it and sent it back out into the wild. But it seems to keep wanting to come back to Glendale.
I think Glendale's its home.
It's a nice place to live.
Yeah. I think this bear realizes that there's food and it kind of has the lay of the land. So they keep tranquilizing it and dropping it back off in the middle of the Angeles Forest. And then he keeps finding his way back. I mean, they saw him this most recent time on Sunday, I guess. And because he's in Glendale, he is being called Glenbarian, which I think is hilarious, by the way. That's the name that everybody has given him. He's very, very popular with the community there. And I believe producer Dave has lined up the Glendale Bear to talk to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Glenbarian, how are you?
Hey, bro. What's happening, bro? Are you doing, my friend?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, you know how it is. The life of Armenian player. It's a little bit tough, but you know I get by, huh?
Certainly, yes. You are also.
By the way, before we get started, you need deal. You like BlackBerry, huh? You like BlackBerry iPhone? What you guys? Yeah, Android, huh? Baby?
iPhone, if you don't mind.
Oh yeah, I give you a good deal, huh? My cousin, my cousin Vatay Maserli, and he give you a good deal. Come down to a shop. What do you say?
You have bear cousins that are around?
I have many bear cousins. And I have good, my cousin, Razmik, Alexis Boyajian, my cousin, Vatay Maserlian. Like I said, he owns shop in Glendale. Give you a good deal. Right. What cell phone you need, huh?
Why Glendale? How come you've decided Glendale's where you need to
Everything
stay?
I do it for Glendale.
You are so popular that you are being called the future mayor of Glendale by some. You also, somebody, maybe it's you, I don't know, is running a Twitter account as the Glendale Bear with over 24,000 followers right now.
That's how I do it, bro. Next thing you know, 240,000. It just grows like that because, you know, I go out there on Twitter. If I go to disco, whatever I do, you know what I'm saying? I go to Glendale Galleria. I buy up the place. I get my shiny shirt. I get gold chain.
Right.
Everybody knows this is how I live, huh? You want to be a part of it? I understand. That's what it's like, huh, bro? pro.
So it is really you. I mean, we thought maybe it was somebody being funny, but
nobody can mimic me. You know what I'm saying? I'm Glenn Betty and represent. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, by the way, you guys like cologne? I give you a good deal, huh? You want
not,
Taco Bell?
Not big cologne fans.
Oh, I love cologne, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, Lisa May.
Yes.
Hey, Joseph, you know what I'm saying? I got hair all over my body, not just hairy chest, hair, head to toe.
You are.
Well, that is appealing, I must say.
Represent 818, baby, Glendale.
You can follow the Glendale Bear on Twitter at the Glendale Bear. Authorities, as we mentioned, they keep dropping you back into the Angeles Forest, and they keep saying you're coming back. And they're saying, even though they just did it again on Sunday, they say there's a 50-50 chance you'll be back. So Glendale is where you're going to keep returning to.
Hey, bro, my shop, my bank account, and my heart, they are in Glendale, bro. You know what I'm saying?
You have a bank account?
What's that?
You have a bank account
hey,
as well?
Boy, you don't even know how much money I keep, baby. You know what I'm saying?
How
I go
much?
To the disco, I make it rain. You know what I'm saying, bro? Hey, bro, I was like, every time I come back into Glendale, they shoot me with tranquilizer darts.
They do.
I'm
That's
like,
true.
What the heck, man? You know what I'm saying? It's because, like, my girlfriend, Sarah Manukin, you know, we have a duplex. It's nice. Right up Lambeau Boulevard. But we have a little bit of problem, huh? She kicked me out of the house. I'm just, you know, maxing, relaxing in the tree, you know, slick back my hair. I'm hanging out. Next thing I know, they shoot me with a tranquilizer dart. I'm like, hey, bro, I don't want to go to no Angeles Forest, bro. You know what I'm saying?
But they keep dropping you off, and you keep waking up there.
That's right, bro. And I'm like, hey, if you're going to put me in Angeles Forest, at least leave me my BMW, bro. You know what I'm saying? I got new BMW. You guys want BMW?
No.
I give you a good deal. Huh?
No,
I give
we're
you
good.
Deal, huh? I give you a good deal. We're By the good. Way, used to have Mercedes. I like Mercedes. Mercedes good. You know what they say about Mercedes, Lisa
what?
May?
No.
The ladies, they love my Mercedes. But, you know, I step up my game, I get the BMW. It's nice, huh?
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you're handling the fame well. Sounds like you got a good head on your shoulders, good attitude. Just don't eat anybody in Glendale. That's the concern, is that maybe bears plus humans equals bears. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to eat anybody, bro. You know, okay. I am a bear. Listen to me. I'm a bear. Watch. Rawr. Cigarette, bro. Anyway, you know, when I come back into Glendale, I'm just looking for something to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Maybe give me baklava, hummus, tabbouleh, nice kebab. You know what I'm saying? And next thing you know, they shoot me with that. I say, I just want to be friends. You know what I'm
sure.
saying? Maybe hang out a little bit. I was going to be roadie for System of a Down. Glendale.
All right. Glenn Berrien, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you, my friend.
There's a cop in here.
I smell pork.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Welcome to the Kevin DeBede Show here on a Monday. Here's what I love before we introduce our officer friend. Here's what I love is that Kevin said, realistically, before you came in, officer, Kevin said,
this was off the air.
Guys, is it just me when I show up someplace and I see a policeman or a police car out front that I get a little bit nervous and I start running through my mind, what can I possibly be arrested for? Yes, Kevin, it's just you. The rest of us don't have any problem with police officers.
I'm just saying I get a little nervous when I see a cop.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, there's so many reasons
Who
why.
Who knows why?
Only be nervous when the red light comes on.
Officer Darryl, how are you? Good
Great,
to see
how
you,
you
my
doing?
Friend. Officer Darryl works in Southern California law enforcement, and he is a friend of Kevin's. And the reason that we had you in, officer, is because Kevin's mind was blown by a conversation that you two had recently, and he thought it would be worth sharing with our audience. Kevin, what was the circumstance? How did this come up?
I don't exactly remember how it came up. Do you?
I believe because the charity event that you were doing prior to it, I made the stop and we were talking about the stop prior to.
Okay. So here's the thing. The U.S. median household income in 2011 was between $49,000 and $51,000. That's the median.
Okay.
So Officer Darryl told me, and this statistic can't possibly be true, that the people that beg on the off, well, you tell them. I can't even still get my head around it.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Like they'll go out for a couple hours, and they'll easily make.
These are the people that beg on the off.
Beg on the freeway. Usually they're standing there. They're sitting there in a wheelchair.
The people that we think are homeless and are trying to figure out a way to just put food in their belly, right, for the day.
You hope that's what they're putting in, but most of the time it's not. But they'll make anywhere from $200 to $300 within the hour to 2 hours, and
$200 to $300 in an hour sometimes.
Correct.
So people must be giving them $20 bills?
Oh, easily. A lot of times when, you know, these people are not the greatest of people. And
are they scam artists?
I wouldn't necessarily say scam artists. Yes, they're basically, their job is to make you feel bad for them so that you'll give them money.
Instead of going and getting a job, which many of them could. Or not?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them could go out there and work, but they choose not to because this is a lot easier for them. There's plenty of other help out there for these people. When we, you know, the first contact I have with them, I will give them all these resources that'll give them the free meal, that'll give them the free room, and they won't take it. Why? Because within a couple hours, they can make $200-300, go get the alcohol and the drugs that they want.
$200-300 in a couple hours. I need to start doing that. I could do it in the afternoons.
So Kevin brought up a statistic about how much money average people are making in this country. What do you guess, officer, the average homeless guy is making in this country per year then, if he's bringing down that kind of bucks?
Oh, he can easily make $60,000-70,000 a year and do a lot less work than I do, and that's more than a starting police officer makes when he comes on the job.
Yeah, and tax-free.
100% tax-free, yes.
It sounds like this angers you a little bit, officer.
Well, it should.
Why wouldn't
it? If it's true, it should.
I mean, is it illegal? Is that why it bothers you?
It is illegal. They can be arrested for it. It is actually a misdemeanor in Los Angeles to beg for money. There's so many other – what bothers me about it is there's so many other resources out there for them to get help. But they won't take it because they want the alcohol and the drugs.
But let me play devil's advocate here and say, so what? So they shouldn't be required to take that avenue if that's not what they want to do. I mean, they do still have free choice. If this is how they choose to make a living and it's voluntary whether people give them money or not, why should we care if that's their choice?
But there's some that are actually very, very aggressive and it borderlines robbery when they do it.
Yes.
There's one that we have that actually intimidates mostly females at ATMs or grocery stores where they're very, very scared of him and give him money because they are scared.
And if you're at an ATM, you only have 20s probably, so you give them your smallest bill you have. It doesn't give you anything smaller than that.
Right. Well, even off the off-ramps when we stop them, and a lot of times they do have warrants for other things and you're going to arrest them, and we do the pat-down searches on them. And they'll have mostly 10s and 20s.
Hmm. What? This is the part that blew my mind.
I'm stunned.
Wouldn't you guess that a guy like that that's standing on an off-ramp that's just has a sign says homeless, whatever, help, anything will help, would get $12 to $15 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe. And by the way, that's pretty good pay for these days.
But if they have a dog or it's a female or a female with a child, they'll even get a lot more money. Because
tell the people about the dog borrowing system.
Yes.
This blew my mind, too.
Talking with a lot of the homeless people, I mean, that's my job, to go out there and talk to them. And you'll talk to them, and they will have basically almost like a clique of friends. And within that clique of friends, usually one of them will have a dog. They almost have a schedule at the particular off-ramp that they can go work. So for that particular hour that they are going to go, they'll take that friend's dog with them because most people...
Lisa is a perfect example. She'll see the person with the dog and she'll say... I feel sorry for the dog. Yes, I'll bet that dog's not being taken care of. That makes her want to give.
I'll tell you specifically, there's a guy at a Trader Joe's by me that is in a wheelchair and has a dog.
He's got everything. He's so lucky.
Every time I go by, I give him money.
He's got it all.
I actually arrested one guy that... For a long time, he was in a wheelchair, and a lot of people did feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
But the wheelchair, he actually stole from the hospital.
So he didn't need it.
He didn't need it at all.
At the end of the day, he'd just stand up and walk. Do they have homes?
No, they don't have homes.
Does not have a home. He's like dirty.
But I have talked to several of them on the off-ramps, and because of the amount of money that they're making, they'll actually be able to afford to stay at the local hotel in the local area.
Mm-hmm.
And pay for the whole week, but still be able to have enough money to do the other stuff that they want to do.
What percentage of the people who are begging are taking it for alcohol or drugs?
The ones that I come across.
Versus food.
I would say 99% of them.
99%?
The ones I come across, yeah. There was one female that we would come across, and she would come out and actually just straight out tell us that she would go out. And because of her heroin addiction, she would go out onto the freeway. She would beg for money.
Just until she got enough?
Just until she got enough to call her dealer up to get the one balloon that she needed because she was addicted to heroin. And once she got the 20, which was only two or three light cycles on the freeway,
She would call up her dealer, get her fixed, and then she would be off the freeway until the next time that she had to do it.
How about that? All right, we have to take a break. We can take some phone calls on this topic if you have questions for our law enforcement guest, Officer Daryl, in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, or have some other comments about this. Because I'm curious, Officer, it sounds like, and our phone number is 1-800-520-1067. It sounds like what you're saying is, if you see a homeless person on the side of the road, do not give them money. It sounds like that's a bad bet, right?
Well, I would rather you, I'm saying if you want to help them, help them. But by donating to the local shelter or the food bank, where they can actually already go there and get all the stuff that they're asking for free.
But it sounds like the people that you're talking to will not use any of those services. So none of the donations that I make will help those people that I see on the road if they're resisting those services, right?
But if everyone stops giving them money, then they're going
to go
there. They're going to have to. Yeah. Right. All right. Your thoughts on this or your questions for our guest? 1-800-520-1067. Interesting topic. We've all had that question in our head when we drive by. We always want to help, but should we? And I guess now we're finding out. No, it sounds like at least directly handing them the money is not the way to go. But we'll take your calls right after this. More on this on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. BusinessInsider.com had a story posted on Friday about an Oklahoma man who was arrested again for panhandling and told the police, you can arrest me as many times as you want. I'm never going to get a real job because I make over $60,000 a year being out here on the street and I barely work. And that's the story that we're finding out in Southern California here, too, with our law enforcement guest in studio, Officer Daryl, with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, says that it is not uncommon to see these people on the street, on the intersections, making a lot more money than the people who are giving them the money.
And for a couple of hours work, they're not out there for all day, right? They're out there for a couple of hours, hour or two. A
couple hours, that's it. That's the longest.
Well, we're taking some calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067 because who hasn't wondered what to do when you pull up next to somebody who looks like they really need the help? Let's see what Anthony's got to say. He's on line one, joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm calling in because growing up, I used to see a guy at Soto and Olympic, and he would go into the Sears bathroom every day and get cleaned up at the end of the day. Well, I used to work and live right there, and I see this guy get into a Mercedes-Benz at the end of every day.
He had a Mercedes-Benz?
a Mercedes-Benz.
But he was cleaning up at the Sears?
But isn't it possible that you've lost your job, but you still have your car? And so you lost your home? I mean, that does happen.
I mean, this was a new car every year over the course of, 15 years.
Sweet.
Oh, well, that's a different story.
Right, that is,
I need to become homeless.
Thank you for the call, Anthony.
Is that our point today?
Just pretend.
Daryl, is that uncommon? Have you some of the people that you interact with, do they have a car parked around the corner that they go and get into when they're done with their begging for the day?
It's not uncommon. There are some out there that will scam the system and actually have a house, nice cars. And they'll go to the Goodwill and get a dirty set of clothes and they won't wash it and they'll dirty themselves up and make people pity for them. The ones, of course, that I deal with in the area that I am, I don't have the scammers like that. But again,
all right. So you said 99% use the money for alcohol or drugs.
Alcohol or drugs.
What percentage of them are crazy? Like have real psychological?
Well, there is a lot of them that do have, that have a mental issue, not to the point where we can actually force them, into a some type of help that way. But it's not illegal to be crazy.
Yeah, thank God.
Is there ever a time, Officer? Let me just ask you a human being question here. Is there ever a time where you have somebody who has all of these things going on, whether it's the mental thing or the drug thing or whatever it is, and you just feel like a dick for arresting them because they're standing out on a street corner trying to make a living?
Sure.
Has that ever happened? Do you ever feel bad about it? Because I think it'd be a very tough situation to be in.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't feel good arresting anybody unless they're an axe murderer or something like that. But you're taking their freedom away.
But are you doing them any favors? Are you making their life easier by arresting them for begging?
Don't you give them a ticket, or do you?
Well, the first time I come across them, that I meet them, I'll sit there and actually have a conversation with them and see what actually brought them to the point that they're at.
And what's the most common answer?
Drugs or alcohol. Didn't feel like going to work. Ended up losing their job because of drinking, and this is where they're at now. And then I will give them the resources that they need. A lot of times they'll say, well, I'm here only because I'm hungry. Okay. Well, right down the street, You can go to the shelter. They'll help you. They'll bathe you. They'll feed you.
And why are so many people resistant to that help that's being offered?
Because this is a lot easier for them. They don't have to walk three blocks.
Let's talk to Dave, who I think is former homeless. Dave is calling us on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Officer Daryl in studio, Southern California law enforcement here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, dude?
Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hey there.
Hi.
Listen, I've lived on the streets, officer, for 6 years. I just became not homeless, and I lived on the streets prior for about 7 years, actually. And, you know, when you're on the phone and you're telling people that 99% of the people that are begging for money are doing drugs and alcohol, that's not right, because I've lived in the streets, unlike you. You patrol the streets. I live that street, that life. And I'm telling you that a lot of people that are on the streets, it's not by choice, man. It's because everything in your world has been destroyed. And you don't go on the streets because you want to. You go on the streets because you have to. Because there are no people to help you. Then you find that you need to do for yourself. So you become me and survive. 6 years later, I have my own apartment. I'm living good life. And I never get any criminal act. So I find that really insulting to the homeless people that try to become better people on those streets, asking people for help. Not for drugs, but for a little food, maybe a little shelter.
All right, let Dave,
I don't want to speak for the officer, but I mean, Daryl, you were saying that those facilities do exist. There is lots of help available. That's counter to what Dave is saying.
Yeah, Dave, you're not the norm, and trust me, I'm not trying to be, you know, a jerk or being hard on you. And I'm really happy for you that you're got your life back together, but you're not the norm. The norm is most of the guys that are out there for the drugs and the alcohol.
I will give you that, and I understand your point, and a lot of people are losers out there, and I'll be the first to say it, but there's a lot of people, man, that just have been dealt a bad hand in life, and they're just trying to be better people, and you need to realize that sometimes when you get...
Yeah, your point is well taken, Dave. I'm glad you called. And not every, and the officer, you would agree with this. Not every situation is the same. You are going to have, you're going to run the gamut of what kinds of people you find out there. Not everybody's story is the same, right?
No, 100%. I mean, you're not, but the norm is not, Dave, that just called. The norm is the other way
around. Okay, how do you know? Because if there's a Dave out there, I'd rather err on the side of being kind. Well, am I going to get ripped off most of my life because of that? You know what I mean? Like, how can you tell? Are there any signs that you can tell that somebody's scamming you?
It's tough that way, but unfortunately, the bad ones give all of them a bad name that way. So that's why I always try to give them the outreach and the help. And the ones that are like Dave, most of the time, they will use the resources that you're giving them.
Oh, I see.
And will go and use those resources that are actually already there, that are willing to help you in any ways.
Is it safe to say that most of the people that are begging on the off ramps have been informed that they can get food and shelter?
All the ones in my area have.
Someplace close?
All the ones in my area have.
And I would guess that would be the same for every officer that works, you know, in other areas too, I would guess. But
yeah, one of the...
Like I say, you hear Dave and your heart breaks and you go, wow, I hope I didn't drive by that guy and not give him anything. And then all of a sudden everybody... You don't know. So what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that the court actually asked us is, did we give them or offer them any type of other support rather than just arresting them or writing them the ticket right away?
Before we say goodbye to you,
is there something else to give them? Give them food certificates or food or a way to not give them cash? So in case it is a drug or alcohol thing, you don't help them?
There are a couple that I know of. That are in the same place all the time. People will drive by and give them the doggy bags from a restaurant. You go by there and it's still there.
They just toss it.
They just leave it on the sidewalk.
That's not what they're looking for. They may not even be hungry. You mentioned you know, going through the system a little bit, donating to places that that do legitimate outreach to the homeless. Are there any in particular that you would recommend, officer, that people should go to, or any place that they should go to find out who is reputable to donate to?
you can Google it. I mean, there's so many different ones. I mean, we have the San Fernando Mission that's right in our area that we recommend for all of them.
Just Google shelter?
Yeah, you can do shelters, food banks. Homeless would probably pop up a lot of different.
If you type in homeless, yeah.
Yeah, we'll come up with a lot of reputable places. And then you get a tax write-off at the end of the year for donating to them because of 501c3.
All right, when things go wrong for you on the force and you're homeless and we drive by you, what do you want us to do when it's you out on the street corner?
Don't give me nothing. Don't give me nothing.
Don't give you nothing. All right, officer, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
By the way, I don't think we mentioned this yet, but we do have your choice of tickets in the pit for either night of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts. They are coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Gibson Amphitheater, and we'll tell you when to call them. We've got two different ways for you to win today. It is the holiday season. It is the most wonderful time of the year. You know, we just had the Miss Double December pageant last week.
Mm-hmm.
Video highlights are up. If you were anxiously waiting for that, you can go to krock.com and see the video package.
It's a great video recap, too. It's pretty quick. It moves fast.
Okay.
And this time of year also means holiday music. And we are starting to get a lot of emails, including three or four yesterday, Kevin, who say, hey, it's not the holidays. Why haven't I heard my favorite Christmas song on the Kevin and Bean Show? And you know I'm talking about Wing, Santa on a Helicopter.
Oh, I forgot about that so much. I love it. Give me a little fruitcake while I get Wing ready. Right. You have that? Because Fruitcake is my second favorite song.
Fruitcake is the one that has been getting all the love lately here
like
on the Kevin and
Bean Fruitcake.
Last couple of years, the holidays roll around. You know, once it gets near Thanksgiving, we start thinking about the great Fred Schneider from the B-52s and his holiday song / recipe on how to make fruitcake.
What you making? Fruitcake.
Is this from last year?
What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
So listeners heard that and they go, my God, I love that. That's so awesome. But what about Wing?
What about our little songstress Wing? Wing is a songstress, as Bean calls her, from New Zealand. And she's terrible.
I mean, she not be originally from New Zealand.
Correct. She's good point. She's terrible. And we were introduced to her on South Park, and I did a little research and I found out that she actually existed. I bought every album she's put out, maybe 8 or 9, 10 albums. And she started calling us for a while. She would call us on the Afro line and leave us messages.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ring. I'm so excited that I was invited back to do some more things for you. And thank you for Alice and Kevin and Bean to give me such a chance.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what she said, but she seemed grateful. And then she would sing us a song.
Uh-huh.
And she does all songs that we would never listen to. But she's so bad that we do, because it's fantastic. Like, she'll do this song on the Afro line.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
If you can hear from the music in the background, she's off from the beginning.
Like, and music, out of breath.
The music is going way faster than she is.
A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All right. So she did Santa Claus on a Helicopter. That's the name of the classic. That's the name of the one that the people are requesting.
And this is a Wing. I mean, she didn't write it. I'm sure someone did. But it's an original. This isn't a classic that she's revisited like she does.
And we talked to her about this. And she was very concerned about, in this day and age, how are kids going to get their heads around the fact that Santa can make it to every house, you know, in one night?
Yeah.
That's not possible. So she wanted to explain that, and she did it by saying Santa Claus is now on a helicopter, which, of course, as we know, is the fastest mode of transportation that we have. Come on. She's about to rock.
It's a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter.
Yep.
Not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus on a helicopter.
There it is. There it is.
Now, first of all, if she had anybody in her life that knew music, they would go, stop singing high. That really hurts. I take it down a little.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
So sweet.
Now here's where she explains.
Santa Claus, he visited us today.
I don't know what that was. What? I didn't understand a word of that.
I don't know. But every time we play this song for Wig, I think, isn't there a producer? Isn't there somebody who says, hey, Wing, could you recut that part so people understand what the F you're talking about? It just seems like it's first take production.
We found out behind the scenes, it's a dude kind of like we do with some of our people, is you go, that's perfect.
Right.
Yeah,
I guess. Just like, because there's really no way to take this from maybe the worst song ever to at least, you can't get to decent even.
And you don't want to get to decent, because that's nowhere.
You love this.
December 24.
December 24. Now she's starting to tell the story.
Wow, he's coming right now in an helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Cart.
Which
cart.
Is what they're known as.
Yeah.
He lives in the front yard of a nursery. All the babies crying for moms. He fist them both.
Whoa.
Was that fisting? What happened there? Wait, what happened with Santa?
She has an accent. He feeds them.
That's not what it said.
He feeds the kids.
I defer. I'm sorry.
He feeds the kids is what happens, Bean. Because we know that she is a pure-hearted woman.
Yes.
We can't get her to go along with half of the nonsense we try to get her to go along with.
All the babies crying for moms. He feeds them both if they are hungry. Then he returns to the helicopter and makes a big landing.
What I love is that to her, a helicopter solves all the issues.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be like a sleigh would be faster. A helicopter
absolutely
is magical.
Actually slow. She's picked a slower mode of transportation than she had before.
Why not put him on a bicycle?
Right.
Hey, Beer Mug, you had never heard Wing stand on a helicopter until we asked you to pull it for today's show. What were you expecting versus what do you think now that you've heard it?
I wasn't expecting this amount of gold, to be honest. I turned it up in my headphones and I was rocking out at 5 this morning.
Yeah, that's the best.
In the city. Dance. City dance.
What?
Dance. Helicopter dance.
Bands?
Dance?
Dance helicopter dance?
Sort of like...
Bands?
I don't know.
Fans?
Dance makes more sense, but why would you be trying to get the helicopter to dance?
You don't want the helicopter to dance. That's the one that you don't want.
Bands!
Do you think she's... Bands? Do you think she's trying to rap in this part, this whole section?
I think this is where she's breaking it down, yeah. Okay.
Santa Claus bands!
Santa Claus mans?
I don't know.
Gotta be dance.
Follow Santa. He's playing a flute.
Now, why is Santa playing a flute? Do you guys know that Santa plays a flute? Have you heard that anywhere?
Dancing on the helicopter.
He's dancing. The helicopter's dancing. He's playing a flute.
As long as he stopped fisting, I'm fine with whatever Santa wants to do next.
Feeding.
Or whatever.
Follow Santa. Get the secret route to the church to place the lock.
Don't know. Well, I have no idea.
The children follow Santa down the road.
All the children don't follow Santa down the road. It's the middle of the night.
Helicopter.
Does she know nothing about this story? I mean, really?
It's a Pied Piper
now? All the kids come out and follow him? They're in bed. You put out a cookie, she doesn't know anything.
Sons and daughters. But if you are sick, you can walk. Santa take you to a helicopter. Santa Claus.
If you're sick, he'll take you in the helicopter.
Oh, my God.
Anymore? Can we handle it anymore?
No, I think that's enough for right now. But ladies and gentlemen, the holidays are here. Gotta all be gone on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That happens Sunday night. If you weren't there, you can watch it this morning starting at 10. Kevin's not here. Lisa, yes. We were watching some of yesterday's in the meeting yesterday in the office. How great did that look? I mean,
it looked amazing, yeah.
The sound was great, professionally shot. I can't believe that's a K-Rock production. Frankly, I was shocked by that. But if you want to see all the action from Sunday with Jack White and No Doubt, the surprise guest, Neon Trees, Passion Pit, The Killers, so much more, that's this morning at 10 o'clock. See it for free at krock.com. Well, we're getting into that magic time of year where we start to look back on the year that was. In this case, it's 2012. And this time, it's time for the top 10 beer mug moments of the year just passed.
The top beer mug interview moments. The top beer mug interview moments. The top beer mug interview moments. That's outrageous. When beer mug's on the case, you'll stick a microphone in your face. Questions, he's got none. He just yells, that is awesome. And when you think that is it.
I'm sorry we're out of time now. We don't have time to play that. Yeah, Beer Mug had another great year on the red carpet. And what I like about Beer Mug is he's not a one-trick pony. He figures out ways to embarrass himself, the show, and the station over and over and over again, but they're all completely different from one another. It's not like he's just making the same mistake over and over again. I'll give you an example. Here he is with John Cho. What movie, do you remember what movie you were on the red carpet with John Cho this time around?
This was for Total Recall.
Total Recall. Yeah. John Cho was there. All right. So John Cho, who's a friend of the show, you know, he's one of the Harold and Kumar guys. We love the dude. He's got a great sense of humor. He's kind enough to play along with Beer Mug's initial terrible first question.
One question. How distracting was it working alongside Beal and Beckinsale?
I got a wife, man.
Oh.
I got a wife.
All right. So he, you know, I got
so
a wife.
There. You go back off, right?
Exactly. Not Beer Mug. He brings the hammer.
It's super distracting. They're really hot.
And so they dig the Asian guys, the Asian persuasion?
Now, why do you keep going with that line of questioning? You've clearly already made him uncomfortable with the wife comedy,
and
right?
And like Bean said, he played along.
Yes,
he's
very kind.
He
gave you an easy
line.
Out.
Right. I got selfish.
And what do you want him to say to that question, by the way?
Yeah,
they sure wanted to have sex with you, didn't they, John Cho?
Yeah.
That's number 10. Here's number 9, and I love it when the person being interviewed throws it right back at Beer Mug, and that's what happened. Same night, by the way, Colin Farrell from Total Recall.
How much did you model your character after Arnold's character?
Oh, you know, just my pecs. It's my pecs and inner thigh. I thought, and then
pretty
I
shredded dude
there.
In your inner thigh.
I was in my inner thigh. No, I got in as good enough shape as I could in 4 months before we started shooting.
You're looking fantastic, sir.
Well, thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. Means the world coming from you.
Yeah, it sure does.
I love that.
Picture Colin Farrell, now picture Beer Mug, and you see why that's so funny that he said that back to you. Number 8 in the top 10 Beer Mug moments of the year. This was, you had Walked the Moon. Where was this, Muggs? Do you remember?
This was at the MTV VMAs.
Yes, the VMAs. You were out there, a very hot day with lots of acts there. And apparently, I don't know whether you were distracted by who was walking by, but you wanted to make sure that Walk the Moon and Katy Perry somehow met. So you're talking to Walk the Moon. Katy Perry walks by near you, and here's how you decided to play that.
Hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here. Katy Perry, Walk the Moon.
And it just went on and on and on from there. I don't know what you expected Katy Perry to do, why you thought she knew who Walk the Moon was, why you thought she'd care to meet them, but that wasn't the best use of their time to watch you scream at Katy Perry.
No, that was a spaz-out moment for me.
All right, so that was number 8. Number 7, here's a great question that you asked also at the same MTV event, Tyler Posey from the Teen Wolf show. Now, listen to this question and then think about what possible ways he might have to answer it.
Well, one last question before I let you go. How far do you see Teen Wolf going on MTV?
What do you want him to say to that?
Yeah, I didn't. That was all in all a bad question.
You caught up with Abby, who's the instructor on Dance Moms, and this one is particularly funny to me because apparently Dave spent a great deal of time telling you all about Dance Moms because you'd not seen it before, right? You didn't know who any of the people were or anything like that, so he told you that Abby is the older lady who teaches the little kids how to dance.
Right.
Well, that all went out the window when you got in front of her with your microphone.
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms. Here at the Teen Choice Awards, what is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing? Is
I'm
that
a dance mom? Do you watch the show?
What are you?
I'm the dance teacher. I own the studio. Yeah.
You have kids?
No.
I'm so sorry. She really wanted to hit me upside the head.
She's an angry woman to begin with.
Yes.
If you ever saw that show, you would know you don't want to cross
right,
her.
Right out the gate, right when she said, no, do you watch a show? I had a sinking feeling in my stomach. Like, oh, no.
As you should.
Number 5 of the greatest Beer Mug red carpet moments of 2012. This is one of my personal favorites because you caught up with Amy Teagarden, who, of course, was Coach Taylor's daughter on Friday Night Live.
Yes.
What movie was she in? Or was she at the same MTV event?
She was at the Project X red carpet.
Oh, Project X. Yeah. So you had a question, and again, I'm going to ask you this. Listen to Beer Mug's question and then think about how much time the world has left for her to answer it.
But there's a movie in the works.
Oh!
Fans can look forward to that.
Very nice. I have, honestly, and I don't want to hurt your feelings in any way, but I'm not a liar and I don't want to be fake, but I've never seen Friday Night Lights. So for a person who's never seen Friday Night Lights, maybe give me a little brief synopsis.
My God.
That just went right there. That went from just totally rude to just even just disgustingly rude.
Look, I know it was on for 5 years,
yeah,
and it's not on anymore, but bring me up to speed on what I've missed with the story so yeah far.
I believe you did that.
And I really didn't expect her to do that, so I don't know
Thank
why.
Thank God!
Yeah, it was bad.
Poor lady. I'm sorry, ABT Garden. I'm so sorry. Number four, Project X again. Director Todd Phillips. Again, listen to the question. Try to figure out how you expect him to answer it.
What kind of element that maybe the audience won't expect will happen in the movie? Can you give that away?
I was thinking about that, being like, that would be like asking, like, you know what? Give the ending away for everybody.
Yes,
why don't
yes
you?
Hey, we hear there's a surprise cameo that's going to blow the audience's mind. Who is it? I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Why not just ask for every spoiler alert?
Yeah.
Could you screen the movie for me here on the red carpet before I go in to see it?
I'm surprised you didn't ask that.
All right, number three. This was at the Grammy roundtable, I think, earlier in the year in 2012, as we look at Beer Mug's greatest hits from the year. You sat down with the legendary band Kool & the Gang.
Yeah.
Now, this is the group that's famous for Celebration, famous for Ladies' Night. They have a dozen songs that people know, and Beer Mug was very excited to talk to Kool & the Gang about one of them.
All right, here at the Grammy roundtable with Ronnie and Kool of none other than Kool & the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
No.
So you ended it as a question because you could see the look in their faces.
I sat
down.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna ask this question. I have no idea if it's right or not, but I'm just gonna go out the gates with it and see what happens. That's why I ended it with a question.
That's a great idea.
Well, I hope they enjoy the music of Casey and the Sunshine Band because that's what you're asking them to comment on.
Yeah, same thing.
Number two for Beer Mug in 2012. Again, you're gonna hear this and you're gonna go, How is there anything better than this? But this is the legendary Lou Ferrigno, who, of course, was the Incredible Hulk on TV. And Beer Mug had this as an opening question, which I think got the interview off on the right start.
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
How is that a question for a 65-year-old man?
And considering I only had about 5 minutes to spend with him, and then he was going to be carted off to the next table.
I could round up my life in 5 minutes. Sure, not a problem.
How has life been up till today?
What does their face look like after you lay a bomb like that
on
them?
That is my brain improvising very poorly.
Do they just look confused or disgusted? Yeah. Or
Lou Ferrigno at that point was wishing he didn't read lips. That's what was happening. All right, number one, and this was very, very difficult for us to even cut down because the whole 4 minutes is priceless. But here's a couple of highlights. Beer Mug on the red carpet for Coma, which was the remake of the book and then the movie, and now it's a miniseries starring the great Oscar winner Richard Dreyfuss. I mean, talk about a legend. Here's a guy we've never had on the show. Beer Mug gets a chance to talk to Richard Dreyfuss. Does he blow it? Do you know Beer Mug?
Back to Coma. Did you watch the original film, and did you take anything away, or did you just kind of...
I saw the original film when it came out, but that's 30 years ago.
By the way, listen to the disgusting Richard Dreyfuss' voice. He hates being there.
There is
he hates having to do this interview.
No patience
and
in his voice.
Stupid interference. Yeah.
He hates Beer Mug more than anything. And Beer Mug is just flailing. Listen as he just tries to come up with questions for Richard Dreyfuss.
And so you just kind of went into this project, this 4-hour miniseries, kind of with your own take or...
Yeah.
And do you play the doctor?
Now he's just guessing. Now he doesn't have any questions. Just throw in, see what hits the wall, see what sticks. You play the doctor?
I play the creator of the Institute.
Oh. Very excited.
Painful.
Not half as excited as I am.
Now, at that moment, I mean, if he had a weapon, he'd be using it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the worst experience of his showbiz life. Not half as excited as I am. Beer Mug brings it home, though, even after that.
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. You are truly one of my inspirations. I'm not an actor, but comedic-wise. like, I mean, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry.
Yes, it is. It's laughter, sad, and cry,
oh
ladies
my
and gentlemen.
God, great beer yes. mug.
It is top 10 moments of 2012.
The top beer mug. Interview moments. That's outrageous.
All right. I know you think we lie, but we're being serious this time. A lot of people complained when we talked to Justin Bieber last week. Remember we had Justin Bieber on? We were talking about the story of the tour opener in Arizona where he vomited. Remember when we did that?
Vomited on stage. We thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
So we talked to Justin Bieber. Oh, what's it all about? Well, what's all the questions, bro? We did that, and then he just started vomiting. People were like, guys, listen, I'm trying to enjoy the Kevin and Bean show, but I'm eating, and it's morning.
It was gross.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
It's
disgusting.
We may have overdone it a little bit with the sound effects, okay? There may have been too much vomiting. So I don't want people to be scared off. I don't want people to be nervous because we're going to talk about another story that does involve someone throwing up, but we're going to keep it clean, okay? We don't want anybody to be grossed out this time. So Lady Gaga is on stage, and she's in Spain. And just like Justin Bieber, she also throws up during the course of giving a concert.
What the hell's going on?
You know what's funny is it's just a recent thing that they can't get away with anything like that. It used to be they were the only ones videotaping.
Right.
And so if they didn't want it out, they could just not put it out. Now people got their phones out and they're videotaping and somebody uploads it immediately after they throw up on stage.
Yeah. But I am assured, before we go to Miss Gaga on the phone now, I am assured that she is healthy and well and feeling great. And we're not going to have any kind of an ugly revisiting of what happened last time with Justin Bieber. Hi, Lady Gaga. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, come on. Why would you do that?
Hello, my little monsters.
Come on. Oh. What's happening? Oh. Now, this is the opposite of what we wanted to do.
Oh, come on. Bean just promised. Lady, can we call you Lady?
Oh, please stop.
You can call me Lady.
Okay.
We were told you were better.
We were guaranteed that you felt fine and there was no danger of it.
God in heaven.
Why would you do this to us?
What
you're making us look like dicks now, Lady Gaga. Oh.
Guys.
Come on. Please stop. Can we at least ask you some questions first?
Who's hungry?
What would you like to know?
Well, nothing now.
Lesson learned.
All right.
Understood.
Goodbye. All right.
Okay. Done.
You all right?
I feel so much better.
Okay.
You really can't please all the people all the time. After our conversation that I thought was very intelligent and mature, by the way, with Lady Gaga a few minutes ago, Miss I writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, you just lost another listener with your idiotic kindergarten humor. I thought you were better than that. Guess not.
Haters.
Time to grow up, gentlemen.
Haters.
And by the way, why is it time to grow up if you're not listening anymore? Why should we bother growing up? Christian writes in.
Isn't it time for her to grow down?
Christian writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm laughing so hard I'm crying at the vomiting. So there you go. So apparently we're one and one on the Gaga bit. Funny man Rob Delaney joins us next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up here too on the world famous K-Rock. First, let's talk Storage Wars.
When storage units are abandoned, the treasures within.
This is do or die.
Are put up for auction.
400.
Five.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, we love this show so much. Tuesday nights at 10 and 10:30 on A&E, The Villain of the Piece. Is that overstating it, Ralph, or is Dave Hester the bad man on the show?
Dave's the bad guy. There's no way around it.
All right. He is the bad guy, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Follow Dave on at Dave the Mogul. Mr. Hester, welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah.
There he is.
Wait a minute. Your name on Twitter is Dave the Mogul?
Yeah.
We promise. The storage warrior. He's the big Mahop.
Sure. Right. He's the storage warrior. By the way, this really is the real Dave Hester on the phone. People think it's Ralph doing the wacky yup bit, but no. In fact, Dave is actually here.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, as Dave has been tweeting over the last 24 hours, he has been anticipating this interview because he knows that you have it out in particular for him as a longtime Storage Wars fan. So what's the problem? How can we bring you two kids together?
What's the beef? Dave, I just don't understand why you behave the...
All right, let me just cut in here and say, is that all you're going to say?
You must be Daryl's fan.
I'm not a Daryl fan. I'm not necessarily even against you because I think you're very good at what you do, obviously. And I enjoy Daryl, and I like Barry on the show, and Brandy and Jared. I like all the people who do what you do. But it seems like you go out of your way to really be, for lack of a better word, a dick to these people, Dave.
Well, you know, the reality of this business is it's a no-friends business. It's almost like a poker tournament, you know. Yeah, you have respect for some of the people, but ultimately, if the big guys fall out, that just makes your day. And at the end, you want to be the last man standing.
But it seems to me that with your money and the way that you bid, you could take these units just as well without being so
what does he do that,
aggressive and sort of agitating about it?
Well, you know, if you go anywhere in America, there's going to be people like me in this business. You got cliques, you got beginners, you got heavy hitters, you got guys that have paid their dues. And the name of this game is to eliminate any competition, get rid of your new guys, don't let the middle section guys grow and, you know, keep your strength amongst yourself, you know.
So this is psychological warfare on your behalf. You really like to get under their skin.
Oh, big time. You want them flustered. You want them pissed off. You want them not thinking right. You want them making mistakes. You want them losing money.
Now, they probably wouldn't do it because they hate you. But are you the kind of guy who, if it's not a competitive situation for work, you could then, you know, turn it off and go to a bar and you could be friends with these people?
Well, not really, because I don't care for a lot of them personally. Some of them I can.
Is there anybody in the show you do sort of like, you know, outside of the competitive field that you could get along with?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, Dan and Laura, the salt of the earth, they're just great people. I've known them for 25 years. Barry is respect for guys like that. And Brandy and Jared, I think that they just lack a lot of education and they've got a long ways to go. And they're a little bit cocky for where they're at in this time of their career.
Now, on last night's show, you showed up with a fleet of your Dave Hester Auction trucks. What was the mentality behind that? What was the reason?
Intimidation.
That's what I thought.
And it worked out perfect. Daryl came up with that cocky attitude to send me home empty, and I ended up making a good profit on those motorcycles, and he ended up losing his ass.
There's a clip from that where you show up with the trucks.
That just happened right now?
That's called a little penis.
I brought my whole fleet as a show of strength. Yeah, I'm making a statement. Amateurs, go home or lose your money.
It would be nice for him to drive away with those trucks empty. That would be the ultimate.
Yeah, it didn't happen, apparently.
I'll take to your credit, Dave, you don't care what people think about you when you show up to do your job. That's for sure.
Not at all. They don't pay my bills, and I'm not concerned about what they have to say.
How do people on the street treat you that watch this show?
You know what? I mean, honestly, through the internet and stuff, I get a lot of death threats, assault threats.
Jeez.
People want to burn my buildings down. They want to knock my teeth out, but I've never met anybody on the street that has been rude to me in regards to this show.
Yeah, people get very brave behind the anonymity of the internet, but in person, you're right, they're cowards. How this is the voice of Dave Hester from Storage Wars on A&E Tuesday nights here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the Yup guy. Let's talk about YUUP. Where did that come from, Dave? And how have you turned that into another moneymaker for you?
Well, it's actually three U's. It's YUUUP, and that's just a strategy of bidding that I've used forever. Before the show, you know, I'm a licensed auctioneer and have been for 20 years. And I've started out as a bid caller for big auction houses. And, you know, basically what happens is an auctioneer is up on the auction block. You may have 500 people in your audience and it's loud. So you want the auctioneer to hear you. So as you recognize the bid, you just go, yep, yep. And that kind of turned into my bidding strategy years ago. And it caught on the TV.
Yeah, now it certainly is a catchphrase. What's going on with the store, your consignment store and your auction house? I mean, how's business these days?
Well, right now we're getting ready to expand into a big 50,000 square foot building in Orange County. So we're in the process of remodeling and relocating right now, and kind of off. You know, we're in between filming,
right?
And right now I'm just working on some educational products that will be coming out, so that I can teach the entire country and the world how to access information in regards to auctions and teach them the business.
But you're not going to help people beat you at this.
You want people out of the business. You don't want people in the business.
Well, you know, originally when I got into this business, I wanted to educate and teach people my life story and teach them how this business is done. And we've kind of already, I would say, kind of stepped on our feet as far as opening the door and showing our secrets. So now it's time to actually educate the entire country and get them out there to make a living. And, you know, we're some of the hardest working people out there. A lot of people want to be dogmatic and say, hey, you know, you guys are taking advantage of people in their worst time of their lives. And people have to understand these storage auctions have been taking place since the 1960s. We're no, you know, they're no different than Bank of America. If you don't pay your mortgage, you know, they sell your house. You don't make your car payment, your car gets sold. You don't pay your storage, your stuff gets sold. But this is honest, hardworking people that come out 7 days a week. We don't, we're not on unemployment. We're not on welfare. You know, we're out there trying to make an honest living. And if people want to do that, you know, they should be able to do that and have the right education to do it.
Honest, hardworking people, which you are a dick to. Is that correct?
Exactly. You know, with that said, you still have to, when you walk in the gates, it's business. So then, you know, now you meet the lion.
Yeah.
Dave, listen, there's been some rumors that you may not be on the next season, that the contracts are still under negotiation. Is that true?
Well, I can't really comment on that.
Oh, all right. Well, I just
how do you think it would be without me?
It wouldn't be nearly as fun, that's for sure. You are the man we love to hate while we watch it.
That is true. And, Ralph, since we're out of time, do you have new respect for Mr. Hester now that we've had a chance to talk to him and hear from his own mouth what's going on?
Nope.
Thanks, Dave. Storage Wars airs Tuesday nights at A&E. How about the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, back on the Kevin and Bean Show? I feel like we haven't talked to you in a million years. Adam, how you been? How's the book doing, dude?
Oh, it's great. Got to New York Times bestseller list, and it's been going really good.
I see. It makes me doubt things like the New York Times bestseller list when I know people that are on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know Adam.
Listen, last year or 2 years ago when I was on the New York Times bestseller list, the guy ahead of me was Baba Booey.
Oh, all right.
You want to talk about taking just a little bit of the starch out of my sails? Yeah.
Yeah. So literature isn't, it's not exactly like you're outselling Oscar Wilde or anything. Hey, yeah. Real quick before you get to your rant this week, I did see you on Bill O'Reilly the other day, and he made, I thought was a pretty funny suggestion for publicity, is that he said you should go work at a Taco Bell for a day as publicity for your not Taco Bell material book. What do you think about that, Adam?
Oh, we talked to them when the book was coming out, like, how about doing some sort of co-branding something, 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 and I knew it wasn't going to work when they referred to their 150 employees, 150,000 employees as associates. Then whenever they call the guy who stirs the refried beans an associate,
right,
you know you got trouble.
Right.
And my book, then by the way, the title, using them as sort of a benchmark for stupidity, basically saying, not smart enough to work at the place that makes the dunce cap.
Right.
They didn't see the humor in that. No. And neither did their over 150,000 affiliates. Yeah, I mean associates, sorry.
All
yeah.
right, not Taco Bell material is hilarious. It's Adam's latest book. It's available everywhere online and in stores. You can also see the Ace Man on stage at the John Lovitz Theater on July 21st. Tickets are on sale now through adamcarolla.com and August 1st at the Irvine Improv. Time now for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and moving our way over to number one. Number three, bought some socks. Sent the old lady to the Target the other day, and, well, she was going anyway.
I was going to say, you can't buy your own socks?
Yeah. Told her to buy me some socks.
Right.
And she came back with a chub pack of socks, and that's the way I like it. And I looked at the thing, and it said fit size 6 through size 12. And I thought, that's pretty big range there. You know what I mean?
If you're a 6, that can't fit well.
No, and as a guy who has an 11.5, I'm not feeling good about sharing the same sock as E from Entourage. You know what I mean? Do you think Brad Garrett and E from Entourage wear the same sock? Because according to this manufacturer, they do.
That's true.
And then I thought, First off, shoes come in half sizes. So there's like 13 sizes of shoes in that one size of sock. And then, what if other things work this way? Like, what if I said, give me some underpants, and she brought me home a chub pack of one that says, fits guys between with the waist size between 28 and 56. You wouldn't feel good about that, would you?
No, you would not.
No.
What if there was some sort of online dating service where they're like, our gals come in somewhere between 120 pounds and 240 pounds. Don't worry, we'll send one over. That wouldn't work, would it?
The sock industry is not worried about you, apparently.
The sock manufacturers are some of the laziest human beings on the planet.
Yeah, there are times, there are industries where specifics count, and I think you've nailed it here.
Let's put some sort of federal mandate that says you can skip three sizes, but you can't double the size and say it fits the same foot, because it can't fit any of them well. It's got to be way too tight on a 12 and way too loose on a 6, unless there's some sort of magical material that you invented that I'm unaware of. And that's why they wear out so quick, and that's why we have to buy a new one. So I know it's part of a conspiracy. Number two, Jenny McCarthy, back in Playboy. Jesus Christ. First off, we met her in Playboy. We already have pictures of her naked when she was 19, do
right.
we not?
Yes, we
right.
do.
Of course, yes.
Now, listen, if it was Jenny McCarthy, astronaut, who's agreed to pose nude, or Jenny McCarthy, race car driver, or Senator McCarthy, that's, well, that sounds
wow,
weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah, that's one thing. But the whole reason we know who you are, sweetie, is because we saw you naked 20 years ago. Do we really need to see what a couple barnacles look like on you? I mean, does anybody sit around and look at a hot 19-year-old waitress and go, I'd like to see her naked when she's in her 40s? What? We got it. We already saw you. And stop proving how good. The thing is it's all the things like, I want to show people how good-looking a 40-year-old can be. What do we have 19-year-olds who'll take their clothes off for $30. What do we need to, are we out of 19-year-olds who'll get nude?
We are not yet.
All right. So, Jenny, put your clothes back on.
She looks fine, having said that.
She looks fine for 40, okay. But we'd rather see her at 19 naked,
just
right?
Just rerun those.
Yeah, or, and by the way, what? Let's just do some math. Oh, man, I can't wait till she's 60. This is going to be awesome. Oh, just put your clothes on and shut up, sweetheart. We've seen you naked. And number one, I have run into this now three different times, trying to drive out to Irvine. The traffic is bumper to bumper. And then you finally catch up to what's going on, and you realize some asswipe had, I want to call it a fender bender, but they're not fender benders. They're bumper scuffs now.
Yeah,
people, they physically make contact. Like, my Pete Ellis Dodge license plate frame scuffed your coexist bumper sticker, and now we're going to get out of the car and wait for Gary Sinise to come by with a wood light? Get the F off the road! What are you doing? You're standing in the middle of the effing freeway.
And you're stopping people for hours.
You're just standing there. This is not the Menendez living room, people. Move the F off to the shoulder. Use the shoulder. You think that guy's coming with the wheel? By the way, you know the wheel they run on the ground with the stick on it?
Right.
I'm convinced that's not hooked up to any kind of counter. I think they just take the dumb cop and go, here, take the wheel.
Just roll
it
around.
And he just rolls it, and no one ever asked him anything. You never stop him. What do you got on there? I want to read out on that bad boy. I want to know where my tax dollars are going. Come on, give me a number. And I want to see what's on there. I think that guy just pushes the wheel around. I think you could get in a cop outfit and push that wheel around any freeway and no one would ever stop
That's
you.
That's probably true.
All right, so pull the F over. I got a place to go, would you? And how about we start telling people to do this instead of our stupid click-it-or-ticket campaign?
I like it.
I agree. That's good. See, we've been saying for years, Adam Carolla has all the answers. It's just a question of people starting to listen to him.
That's
the book is called
right.
Not Taco Bell Material. It's available everywhere. See Adam on stage at the Lovitz on Saturday, July 21st. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com and the Irvine Improv as well. And all the fine podcasts and appearance schedules available at adamcarolla.com. Thanks, Ace.
Love you.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Tuesday morning, Kevin and Bean Show. Jeffrey Ross on the program later on today. Also, we got more tickets for you to join us in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock to see Green Day. Just like Mike Dorman from North Hollywood just won his tickets for this hour. And a Kevining update, too, as Kevining continues to be the trend that takes over the world. Dina Lohan, who is Lindsay Lohan's mom. And by the way, they have three other kids, four kids in that family, Lisa, but you only ever hear about Lindsay because she's the moneymaker, potentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she seems to be the only one that Michael and Dina, her parents or estranged parents, ever seem to fight over.
Right.
She was on with Dr. Phil in an interview that was taped a few days ago, aired yesterday. You listen to some of this and tell me what's going on with Dina. Is she crazy? Is she drunk? What's happening? Here's about how most of the interview went. I could have really just dropped the needle at any point in this interview, and you would have gotten a similar idea. But listen to this.
Are we rolling?
Can I ask you some questions, and you answer them honestly?
Yes.
Is that a place to start? Let me just ask you some questions.
That would be operative.
And then you answer them.
Organically, yes, I will be honest.
Not in television speak.
So basically it would be operative and she will answer them organically. I don't even know what language she's trying to speak here.
Why is she doing the interview? What is this?
I assume she got paid for it. That's my guess. I can't imagine any other reason she would want to. But yeah. Dr. Phil, as you'll notice, is going to be pretty hard on her.
But just answer them honestly.
Okay. So I'll sit closer. So we're friends. Nice shoes. Like them, by the way.
Yeah. Am I right if I tell you that it's just like interviewing Courtney Love?
Yeah, totally.
Nice shoes.
So being weird.
Well, we're not here talking about my shoes.
Am I the toughest guest around? No. Can we pound that? Oh, no. Okay.
But I'll tell you what you are. You spent more time talking about cameras, are we rolling, lights, sound, the television aspects of this, than anybody I've ever
business.
Talked to. But we're not here about your business. We're here about your life. And you keep saying, is that on? Are we rolling?
That's a
look,
normal
you see that
situation.
Red light over there? This guy.
Got
here,
it.
These guys that are aiming those at you, of course
no,
they're on.
Lovely.
You know they're on. Dina, that's just a dodge.
So that's about how the interview went. And by the way, I don't know what's with the creepy horror music that's
coming
out behind it. But it does sound like the people under the stairs are going to jump out of the set at any moment. But we wanted to find out more about what went down in this interview with Dina Lohan. And we have the great Dr. Phil joining us on the phone right now. Hey, Doc.
Morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine. It was very uncomfortable television yesterday on your show.
I'll tell you, it was uncomfortable to be there in person as well.
Yeah. What's your diagnosis in the few minutes that you spent with Miss Lohan? What's going on with her?
Well, I think you could tell by her behavior there that you can put the squirrel on the keyboard, but it doesn't mean it's going to play chopsticks.
I don't know what that
I had to look
means
at it
exactly.
In that way, do you think, as her ex-husband said later in the program, that maybe Dina had been drinking before she sat down with you?
Well, I couldn't tell for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I know if you open up Venetian blinds, it doesn't mean you're in Italy.
All right, I'm going to have to send that one up to the
right?
lab. And
that's what I'm saying.
All right, do you mind if I play a little bit more from the interview?
No, it'd be great.
Okay.
And you said, I want to come on and want people to really know me, and what you have done is distinguished yourself in the negative. You have come on here and been phony and inauthentic with these deflections and dodges, and that doesn't help. That doesn't help.
Truth will prevail.
So what does that mean? Truth will prevail.
All right, here's the most awkward silence of them all.
You have to ask me.
I did. That was a question. What does it mean the truth will prevail? If we don't hear the truth.
What is your game plan? What are
I
we,
had one
what
rule.
Are we
I had one
to
rule,
do?
And that is that we'll just be honest. We ask a question, I get an honest answer. And if I don't get an honest answer, we're through talking.
It did seem like about five different times, Dr. Phil, you were ready to just throw her out of the studio. You had had enough.
Well, because she wasn't living by the rule, which was we were going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't make me drive a Hot Wheel and then tell me I'm a giant.
Okay. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're trying to tell us, Dr. Phil.
Well, you can't scoop hot water with a tuning fork.
No?
That is true.
No, I guess you do you sense you. Do you sense that she cares about her daughter Lindsay Lohan as a daughter, or just she sees her as the end to make money?
Well, I think somewhere deep inside, of course, she does have motherly feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out if you're making a house full of sawdust, then you don't invite the termite neighbors over for potluck.
What's happening? What's going on right now, Dr. Phil?
She confuses me. He confuses me. Is it me?
I don't think I understand anything either one of you were saying anymore.
If you're at a block party, you don't drive the unicycle to the pie wagon.
Okay, I will make a note not to do that.
All right, thank you then.
Your final conclusion then on Dina Lohan after sitting down with her for an exclusive one-on-one interview.
Well, it's obvious to me that if you are cleaning a plate glass window on one side, you don't bring out the pooper scooper.
All right, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it from Dr. Phil himself. Final look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Jonesy's Jukebox on K-Rock.
So, today in showbiz, nothing really happened. Because it's not a Tuesday.
Oh, wait. It is a Tuesday. Jonesy? Right.
So, then, new releases happened today.
You know what? You may have to actually have Ralph step back here. We don't maybe don't have the time to have you read the list.
You asked me to come in here and do this.
Right, but I forgot how slow.
And then you say to me, no, Jonesy, we don't want you in here.
Well, you kind of do things at your own pace, Jonesy, and I just
can leave now and send the other guy in. But you were the one who asked me to do it.
Dave, send Ralph back in. Would you have Ralph come in and take out the show?
No, don't try to put this off on someone else. This is on you, Bean.
All right, maybe just this one story then. Maybe just the new releases, and then we'll bring Ralph in after that.
Releases,
right? New music that comes out on Tuesdays.
New CDs,
okay,
released by other bands.
Okay, just tell us
new music.
What's coming out today? We talked about the Killers, the new Killers album, Battleborn. That's available today. What else?
These CDs are available today.
Okay,
Tuesday,
right,
September the 18th.
Right, we covered all that. Just what else besides the Killers?
Starting with the Killers.
Okay, Jonesy, seriously.
Battleborn is the name of their
new album from the Killers. Looks great. What else?
The Killers with Battleborn.
Move on.
Next one after the Killers is Kanye West.
Yes, Kanye's got the new mixtape, right?
CD.
Right.
Called Good.
Good.
Music.
Right.
: Cruel. Summer.
Cruel Summer. Okay. Cruel Those are the new summer. Releases here today on the Killers.
All right.
Thank you, Jonesy. Thank you for what?
I've got other things.
Thank you for doing that, but let's bring Ralph back in to finish up.
Pink is here. The real Steve Jones just walked in the studio. I don't know what to do now. Can we get a live mic here and a headset for Mr. Jones in case he has some comment he'd like to make about my showbiz report this morning? Oh, you got here's volume right there, sir. Yeah. Can we get
Jonesy.
His
mic
Pick up? The mic, any mic.
Yeah, how's that?
There we go.
Right, there we go. How are you, sir?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Sorry
how
you had doing? To hear that.
This is embarrassing.
No, I haven't heard anything. I keep hearing that you mimic me.
I do a little bit of you, yeah.
Is he good?
I don't know. Talk some more.
What should I say?
I don't know. What should you say?
What did you say last week?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I was doing the new releases of the new CDs because it's Tuesday.
You're going to make me talk like you now. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, new releases. Yeah.
Yeah. New releases for Tuesday.
Wait, who's who here? We got dueling Jonesy's going on. What the hell's going on
kind
here?
Kind of amazing.
He was here recording a show and he was down the hall, and so we were just talking about him, and then he came in and walked in and made me self-conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I do. I was talking like you, and then you walk in, and you give me that
look. It's like magic. It's like magic.
It is like magic. You look at me, and now you're making me all self-conscious.
And now I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Okay. And you're looking back, and we're having a laugh.
We're both looking at each other.
And we're having a laugh.
Yeah, we are.
This is like a funhouse mirror is what this is. Listen, Steve, is it true that your phone was ringing off the hook from your manager a couple of weeks ago when Ralph was on our show being you?
Yeah, I was in bed. Mm-hmm. And I woke up about 9-ish, and there was about 20 phone calls from my manager. I'm like, something must be wrong. So as I'm dialing her back, she's calling me again. She's going, what's going on? Are you on the Kevin and Bean show? You getting loaded? Are you high? What's happening? She was all worried that I was drinking and using again.
No.
Was you doing something that I was...
No, I think...
He was just slow.
I think the guys were commenting that maybe I seemed a little bit out of it as Steve Jones. Yeah. So maybe she was speculating perhaps that was the reason behind it. But I was just having a little fun, that's all.
You're having a laugh.
But the truth is, Steve,
and this is God's honest truth.
Wait, there's a lesson going on here.
Steve's teaching me how to do...
Go on, say it.
Oh, we're having a laugh.
I was having a laugh. One more time. I was having a laugh. See, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We were talking, and this is the God's honest truth. We'd never say anything behind your back that we wouldn't say to your face. We were saying how refreshing your Sunday night program is on K-Rock at 7 to 9 because you're not confined. You've got the luxury of time. You're not confined by the clock like we are where we're always, you know, we know we've got to be done in a minute. You know what I mean? And that's so refreshing these days on the radio. You don't hear that on very many shows.
Yeah, no, I love doing it on Sunday night. Play, you know, bring my own CDs in and play new music. It's I love doing it. It's great.
Oh, it's a great show.
But
great
our favorite show. Part we were saying is when you tell a story, because you do have all the time in the world to sort of leisurely have a conversation with Kurt, and you guys just have a good time on Sunday nights. It's very pleasant.
Is it good to listen to?
It is. It's a great
listen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have you, Steve. That's the truth.
Does Kevin Weverly like it?
No. He hates it. He's not a fan.
Our boss hates it if anyone's talking on the radio ever. He doesn't
all
ever
music.
Want the microphone
he wants
to be
all
open.
All music all the time. Yeah. But what are we going to do?
Well, I guess I can get away with it because it's Sunday night. It's not, you know, a big listening night, is it?
I think I was surprised because when we did our little skit with you, people called in and said how much they love the show. Oh. I mean, we hadn't talked about it really before, but you have a ton of listeners who listen to our show and also listen to yours,
cool.
And they really enjoy it. Yeah.
Oh, good. They like talking then.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
See?
They like having a laugh.
They like having a laugh. Yeah. Like that time you were at that party with the governor, whoever that was.
Yeah.
The one with the white hair.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him, yeah.
In Nobu.
Yeah, Nobu, yeah.
He was touching me.
Well, that's a whole other story for another time, Steve.
No, like, you know, like professionals, they're like this. They come up to you, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's
when
they tell you they're listening. They're connected
exactly.
with you,
exactly.
Right?
Professional politicians.
That's
yeah,
right.
They're good at that.
Did you ever forget who it was? Because I don't think we ever got to that part of the story. Which governor was it? Was it Gray Davis?
That's him.
Was that him?
That's
okay.
him, yeah. Sweet, man. Was he a good governor?
No, he was recalled. He lost his job. He was such a bad governor.
Did he?
Yeah.
Lost his job. People hated
election.
Him.
How dare him touch me?
Let me ask you one more thing, and I'm only brave enough to do this because I'm not in the room.
Yeah.
You brought up on the show that you had had sex with Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
And that was a shocker to all of us, I think, because we just don't think of her running in the same circles as the legendary Sex Pistol Steve Jones. How did that happen?
Well, it was before she was famous.
Okay.
Was she a model?
She was a model, yeah.
And what were the circumstances? You made a party? Is that what happened?
No, I used to hang out with Mickey Rourke. We used to ride motorbikes in like the early 90s. And she was just hanging out in this shop that Mickey Rourke had in Beverly Hills. It was like a coffee shop thing. And, you know, there was no one wore helmets. I looked like an Adonis at the time. Fabio kind of looked. I had long hair and I was in good shape. And I used to get a lot of females back then.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
And she was just one of many.
And it just at the
I don't
time,
even remember.
At the time, you didn't know that, hey, this is going to be memorable one day. But then a couple of years later, she's a big movie star. She's in The Mask. And you're like, hey, wait a minute. I shagged her, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I didn't shag her. Did the other thing.
Oh, the other thing.
I
right.
see. Okay.
The thing
right.
before the shagging.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's
okay.
fine. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not mad at that.
It still counts,
right?
It still counts.
Yeah.
It's the W in the W column. That's what I look at.
Have you written your book yet, Steve?
No, not yet.
Oh,
but
you gotta. Don't take these stories to your grave, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
Share them
I
with
know.
The world.
I know. I should
You've
do it.
You've had an extraordinary life.
I should do it before I have a heart attack.
Or just tune in on Sundays, and Steve will tell them one at a time.
Yeah,
over the next
chapter by chapter.
That's right. You'll hear all the stories.
There's a lot more of celebrity concubines.
Oh.
Well, that night that I was listening, you mentioned Joan Jett. You believe that you're the one who turned her lesbian, right?
I did. I think so.
You were the last man she was ever with, as far as
Does
you know.
Does that mean she could never get any better than you, so she decided to give up on men, or she was so repelled by the experience
so disappointed,
that she
I think.
To play for the other team.
Either way, I don't care.
the scariest one for me, though, was Nancy Spungen.
Yeah.
That's just dangerous. That's STD roulette right there, man.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Right.
Yeah. But when you're 20, you don't really think about things like that. Well, I didn't anyway.
No, any port in a storm, as they say.
Yes.
At that age.
Yeah, exactly.
You dodged a bullet there, man, in many ways.
Yeah. You're right with the old the drug thing, yeah.
That didn't go well.
Yeah.
Good All times.
Right. Well, thanks for stopping by, Steve.
Hey, thanks
it.
for thanks for the loving around here.
Thanks for not being upset that I'm having a little fun.
I love it, man. You can do it all day long.
All right.
We don't have that kind of time.
You know, they said, Jones is here. Have you talked to him? I said, no. What if he's just being nice on the air, but really secretly he hates the fact that I do an impression of him? I don't want to be headbutted like a soccer hooligan or something.
Hey, man, if anyone's doing an impression of you, that's a sign of success.
That's true. It is a compliment.
You know, yeah. And I just want you to know, it is completely coming from love and admiration. We're in no way making fun of you.
I get it. So I think it's great. Carry on.
Jonesy's Jukebox, Sunday nights, 7 to 9.
Thank you.
Right,
bye-bye.
Right here on the Wolf Blitzkrieg. Bye-bye, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was fun.
That was pretty exciting.
That was awesome. Yeah. Ralph, your face when he walked in, you're like, uh-oh.
Well,
Ash, what the hell?
I'm
a huge Sex Pistols fan. I've never met the man. And to meet him on the air while I'm doing an impression of him was risky business.
You don't know if he's there with a knife or what's going on, right?
Yeah, I'm just glad he's calm and clean and sober these days.
He's the coolest. He's just the coolest.
Yeah. I got nothing else to say.
Nah.
No, yeah. I think we're done at that point. Thank you very much to Jonesy for stopping by here on the Kevin Amin Show. We enjoyed that very much. Tomorrow, it's another all-new Kevin Amin Show. Beer Mug, you're going to be excited. Former Dodger great Jeff Kent is going to be joining us tomorrow.
Oh, I love his mustache.
Are we talking Survivor?
Yes, he's on because he is a contestant on the new Survivor.
I'm so excited about this season of Survivor. Starts on Wednesday night. You know, Michael's coming back. Remember, Michael was the guy who fell into the bonfire?
Yeah, the fire nap.
And
guy?
he was in the water, and just the skin was just peeling off of his
hands. They had to helicopter him out, right?
Yeah, he's back for a second chance to play again since he got knocked out by injury. And Blair from The Facts of Life is on, and Jeff Kent. Interesting cast.
So what's the deal? Is it a mix of past contestants and celebrities? Or are there
regular people? Plus some people, I think three contestants who were taken out of the game because solely of injury. They never got a chance to complete because of injury. They're bringing three of them back to give them a chance to have a second chance. And there was a few celebrities who I think just applied like regular people and made the cut. And so CBS said, sure, and just because you're a celebrity, you're not discounted. So there's a few celebrities in the mix, too, because those people wanted to participate.
That'll be interesting talking to Jeff because, I mean, he just retired, a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that. So he's probably still in real good shape. He's probably a good competitor for something like
this,
too. Anthony Jeselnik will be on the show today. He is very, very funny. We've also got more tickets to join us here at K-Rock next Monday for the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We'll have those for you every hour. It's tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.